We begin with a verse that has been helping me throughout this year again and again. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. We will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. Continuing in prayer and in the ministry of the word. And so, as I'm able to do by the Lord's life supply, grace, and dealing, I want to minister some verses concerning a crucial matter. And I'll read them to you shortly. But I have a question for you, but it's not a training, it's just something you might consider. You know that we're nearing the end of this age. And then the next age will be 1,000 years, the kingdom on the earth. Do you want to be there? Do you have this hope, this desire? So here's my tender question for you, not interrogating you, but kind of stirring you up. How are you going to do it? How are you going to enter into it? Well, we can study what Paul wrote about this, and John, some very profound things. But this time we need Peter's help, experientially and practically. And so I want to read some verses as we're ministering the word, and then as we'll go through the outline, we will focus on point after point. So this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1, 3, 5 through 7, and 11. Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have been allotted faith equally precious as ours in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. 3. Seeing that the divine power has granted to us all things which relate to life and godliness through the full knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and virtue. Then 5, 6, and 7. And for this very reason, also adding all diligence, supply bountifully in your faith virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in knowledge self-control, and in self-control, endurance, and endurance, godliness, and in godliness, brotherly love, and in brotherly love, love. We'll see, it's agape. And anyone who will enter into the coming kingdom must not only have agape, but must have become agape. These are not just words, dear saints. We don't want to live in our imagination. This live with self-made hopes. We want to be helped from our brother Peter, how we can go step by step, personally, to enter into the coming kingdom. That we shouldn't have the feeling that, excuse me, that we're part of a group and somehow we're just going to enter into all together. Of course, in the coming kingdom, there will be something marvelous that's not just independent, it's corporate. But it becomes corporate because in this present age, so many saints have allowed the Lord to lead them through whatever experiences they need to make them, like I often like to say, rapture ready. Don't you want to be a rapture ready person?
Amen.
That wherever you are, whatever is happening, and we don't know how the Lord is going to indicate, the trumpet will be later. He's going to come in a secret way. I don't know. I have no idea what he'll do. He may say, run. We just want to be ready for that. And therefore, we go on with one other verse. Verse 11. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly and bountifully supplied to you. And we know that Peter knew it was at the end of his time on the earth. And it was made clear in a previous meeting, based upon what's written in John 21, that the Lord Jesus said that when you were young, you were wherever you wanted to go, you went. But later you'll be carried somewhere where you don't want to go. And he would be carried to being put to death. And then he looked around his shoulder. What about him? You know, shouldn't he do the same with me? Well, there's a personal aspect of this. So you don't say if it happened to me, then everybody else has to have it. No. I shouldn't say, Lord, I fell down and broke my hip. So everybody should break a hip so they can be conformed. That's goofy. Because there's a genuine personal aspect here. So now we come, and also one other, referring to a verse in Revelation 9, chapter 1, verse 9. And this is Paul again, in his 90s, on an island, and not a very pleasant place. But in chapter 1, verse 9, he said, I am your brother and a fellow partaker in a number of things. And so I would like to bring before us this word partaker. Are you a partaker? What is a partaker? And I had read these verses like you have countless times, but I thought I better do something basic, something simple. I'm going to look up a dictionary and see what a partaker is and what partaking is. And so a partaker is a person who joins in an activity or action. So a partaker, he joins in. There's already other ones ahead of you that are well in this activity. And now you realize their activity has its goal entering into the kingdom of God. And I want to also have an entrance into the kingdom of God. Then the Lord might indicate, then just join yourself in an activity. It cannot be passive. And according to our disposition, some are very dynamic and active, quick. Others are very slow and whatever, but we need to stand against our disposition, whatever it is. I want to be a partaker. Because in order to get into the coming kingdom, I must actually become a partaker. But then you may wonder, what is partaking? What are you doing? To partake is to take a part, and experience something along with others. In other words, there are saints that have opened the way that's been going on for centuries. No matter what the situation has been, there's always been some genuine overcoming saints. And surely we want to follow the leadership of Brother Nee and Brother Lee and so many others. But I'm not going to mention a name, but I was asked to speak just for 3 minutes at a memorial meeting for a brother who passed away. And I had known him in a particular way from the time he was in the full-time training and when he got married and how he's been serving. And I just had, 3 minutes, it goes fast. But I did it, even less than three. And I just pointed out two aspects that are quite encouraging for all of us. The first is, he grew to maturity. He entered into the third stage of the experience of life. He passed through the third stage of the cross applied to our flesh, our self, and our natural constitution. He held nothing back. He resisted nothing from the application of the cross on every part of his inner being. And then the other point, this is my honest feeling, and I do have peace before the Lord when I mention it. He finished his course. He finished his course. That all of us, whether we know it or not, that we are on a part of a spiritual race. There's a goal. We're not racing against each other, but we have a long distance to go. And this involves a lot of things. And the Lord knows when you have the last part of your journey. And many of us have been helped by a message from Brother Nee on this, the last part of the journey. And many of you you're young, you're middle age, but there are several of us here, you're in the last stage, the most important stage, because dear saints, it's how we end. If you're a football player from a very strong team, at halftime, you're way ahead, but you don't realize the one on the other side, he's amazing. And so there was just 2 minutes left. They were still way ahead by 13 points. But this person knew how to come in and to throw the ball, and then a man caught it and stepped out of the range to save time. Then they got the point, but then they had to kick the ball. But there's a procedure that if it's kicked in a certain way at a certain distance, then men on either side can get it. And so certain men with strong hands, they come in to get the ball. They got the ball. And with 2 seconds left, they threw it 45 yards to someone, caught it within, and they won by 1 point. And so those that were triumphing in halftime, no one cares about that. It's how we end. And this is God's sovereignty, you know. I'm an octogenarian. Some of you are in another stage. And I just wondered, just in my personal fellowship with the Lord, I said, I just think of a number of dear brothers that we've known quite well. I don't want to name any of them, that they finished their course. Now they're in paradise. And when they're resurrected, they will be in the wedding feast. They will be a co-king. They finished their course. But then the Lord would, in a firm, but still a kind way, he would just say, finish the course, Ron. However long it may be, however challenging it may be. And so this is very much, it's not focused on my personal experience, is that all of you, I say this with loving concern, that everyone in this meeting will finish the course and enter into the coming kingdom. Whether you pass away with the realization, there's just deep peace. I finished the course. Lord, I'm just take me where you want me to be. But a number of us, you're going to be here when you find out, wow, what kind of thing went off course that they sent from this country into Jerusalem? It went off course and it blew up what's on the mountain. And now hundreds of religious Jews are there saying, we're going to rebuild the temple. But, and then we know from prophesying in the Bible that the government leader in Israel will need to make an arrangement with a powerful person in Germany who eventually become the Antichrist. And when they make that arrangement, the 70th week revealed in Daniel 9 begins. And all of us will still realize no one will be raptured until 3.5 years from now. And no doubt, whoever's here during the various meetings we have, the Lord will share something. But I would advise you, don't be lukewarm and then say, well, I can do it in the 3.5 years. You have to realize there is a tremendous amount of things that you have to go through, that the Lord must have access to the depths of your being. Okay, now we go through the outline itself and point by point, and there will be ample time, more than enough. Well, not more, but adequate. Partakers of the divine nature and the development of the divine life and the divine nature for a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom. Okay, three important words. Partakers. When we walk out of this meeting place, when you're going wherever you live, you just have the sense, thank you, Lord. I'm a partaker. Lord, lead me, train me to do my portion of partaking. I want to enter into this group of seeking saints. I want to be with them. I want to follow them. And I believe the Lord is going to pour out blessing upon blessing. Here's a sidebar comment. that especially when whenever I walk, I don't just have a cane, I have my wife with me. And so when we just see some sisters or brothers with their little children, I just like to look at them. They may be 2 years old. I said, God is going to bless you in every way, your whole life long. And so now it's just quite simple. I just like to walk around and saying, God is going to bless you. But then there's a wonderful message in the collected works of Brother Lee, and the God of blessing. And anyone who is serving the Lord full time and pouring out with all their capacity eventually should realize we can only accomplish in a very limited way. But when the God of blessing is blessing, it will be multiplied, because he's blessing us. Okay, point one. All those who have received equally precious faith, we the believers in Christ should be partakers of the divine nature. Doesn't say we are partakers. We should be partakers of the divine, nature. The divine nature refers to what God is. That is the riches, the elements, and the constituents of God's being. Wow, we're partaking of this. God's being. The divine life and the divine nature are inseparable. The divine nature is the substance of the divine life and is within the divine life. As the children of God, we are God-men, born of God, possessing the life and nature of God, and belonging to the species of God. There are billions of people on the earth that they are of a certain kind of species. But we're all a different species. Visibly, we're just a human species. But we are children of God. We've been born of God. We are a God-man species. Amen. And so this opens the way for us to be partakers. At our regeneration, another nature was imparted into us. This is the nature of God, the divine nature. Because the divine nature is in the divine life, the divine life with which we were born again has the divine nature within it. So I just pause here to realize what was shared from the previous messages as the foundation of what I'm trying to share. Is that the divine life and the divine nature is in us, but not as an element, but as a person. So I'm pausing here. I don't want you to be introspective, but just realize right now, while I'm sitting here and you're sitting there, Christ is living in us. The person, as the life-giving spirit. We don't just have life. We don't just have the divine nature. We just consider this. 24 hours a day, all the time. We don't just have the divine life. We don't have only the grace of God as apart from being God himself. This is realization. And I just look back upon how patient the long-suffering the Lord has been. And I don't know what he would say. I hope we get to see him, you know, in the coming kingdom. And he might say, well, you were challenged. But because of my mercy and grace, you were an open vessel. So you let me get through. Will you just please be an open vessel? Day by day. Just give him access to every part of your inner being. Let him reach the depths of your inner being. To saturate you, to permeate you now. And then surely you will be rapture ready. Then three, whoever believes into the Son of God is born of God and has the right to become a child of God. Thus, the believer has the right to partake of, to enjoy the nature of God. We have the right to partake. We can tell the enemy, shut your lying mouth. We have from the God of grace through Christ's redemption, we are partakers of God's divine life and nature. And you're going to the lake of fire and we're going to become the new Jerusalem, a corporate person marrying the processed and consummated triune God. Don't just rebuke the enemy. That the first time I had this kind of experience, that I learned it, I was in a room with 15 brothers during a conference in Taiwan. And I woke up and the enemy was nearby accusing me or judging me. And I was just a learner. I'd only been here less than 2 years. And I just walked, we were in the big hall education building, I just walked down to the end of the hall and just spoke to him from generation 12. We need to realize we are actually partakers based upon Christ's victory. Okay, D. A partaker of the divine nature is one who enjoys the divine nature and participates in the divine nature. To partake of the divine nature is to enjoy what Christ is. To be a partaker of the divine nature is to be a partaker of the riches, the elements, and the constituents of God's being. Just consider this one sentence. We're partakers of this. Of God's being. With his life and nature. Of course, the Godhead is another aspect that we're not part of. That we are actually children of God. We've been born of God. If we would be partakers of the divine nature, we need to live by the divine life within which is the divine nature. And so in our daily living, it's the divine life that we contact first. And I don't know, and I don't care to know, how your being is when you wake up. But I have to get up early in the morning, and soon as I'm conscious, then one of the first things I need to do every day is to say, Lord, I turn my heart to you. from 2 Corinthians 3:15. Because our spirit is within our heart. And if the heart is turned away from the Lord, there's no way for the spirit to flow. But just this simple statement, no matter how you feel, don't wait until you're filled with this and that. Lord, I turn my heart to you. The veil is taken away. And you keep reading in 2 Corinthians 3. Then we can behold and reflect the glory of the Lord inwardly. And I'm pausing again. These verses, the experiential side. Just when was the last time? I hope it was earlier today, but it's still late morning. You got plenty of hours. Just to turn your heart to the Lord. The veil is taken away. And inwardly, this is the indwelling Christ as the life-giving Spirit. That verse says, you behold and reflect the glory of the Lord as you are being transformed from glory to glory. Amen. Now, I believe many of you, maybe the vast majority of you, can't you honestly say in your fellowship with the Lord to say, Lord, I just thank you for your shepherding, for your leading, for your dealing, that I am more, a little bit more grown in life than the beginning of this year. We're not just staying the same. Okay, E through H now. We enjoy the riches of the divine nature through God's precious and exceedingly great promises. When God promises, that's it. We don't know when it will take place or how. It may take several years, but he's honest. So he's going to fulfill what he said. Being a partaker of the divine nature has a condition that we escape the corruption which is in the world by lust. We need to live in the cycle of escaping and partaking, and of partaking and of escaping. All of us, no matter what our age is, what our situation is, we need to be in this cycle. G, if we enjoy God and partake of the riches of his being, we will be constituted with the divine nature, becoming the same as God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, and expressing him in all that we are and do. This is the high peak of the divine revelation, released in the last 3 years of Brother Lee's time with us. So I want to read it again. If we enjoy God and partake of the riches of his being, partake of the riches of his being. Amen. Let's all partake right now. Amen. Of the riches of his being. We will be constituted with the divine nature. So we'll be saturated and permeated with the divine nature, becoming the same as God in life and nature, but of course not in the Godhead, and expressing him in all that we are and do. Wow. All that we are and do. Wherever we are. I don't want to give examples. We all just reflect a little bit on your personal history in the various situations, even recently. But whatever they are, whatever the situation is, the Lord is working himself into us, whatever it is, wherever we are. Then H, if we partake of the divine nature, enjoying all that God is, the riches of the divine nature will be fully developed as described in verses 5 through 7. Okay, now we come to, this is a crucial word. Developed. Developed. It doesn't just happen accidentally on our part. If we are a partaker, there is inward activity. No matter what our condition of our human body is, like that verse in Romans 8:11, that the Spirit gives the resurrection life even to our weak body, in our physical body. No matter where you are, whether the condition is, the Lord is dispensing into us. But now this point is developed. And we're going to go through, when we turn the page, we will see Peter leading us step by step of a procedure that each one of us personally needs to be experiencing and living through. And we're at all different stages. This is a normal thing. We're not racing against one another. I'm fond of saying, so I'm saying it again, no matter how old you are, it's not too late. And if you're young, you're a teenager, it's not too soon to be involved in this way. So we read point Roman 2. We need to experience the development of the divine life and the divine nature contained in the divine seed that has been sown into us, so that we may have a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom. So in order to have a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom, there must be the development of the divine life. And no one can bring this about in someone else. This is part of your personal relationship with the Lord. So here I'm pausing again. And I hope what I'm saying now is clear, because I'm not criticizing anything at all. But the holy word for morning revival that most of the churches have, and it's all set forth for early in the morning. And I know in the district where I'm in the a meeting after the Lord's table, the meeting called a prophesying meeting. That's what it's called. And what we can present is usually just what touched us during the week. And there's nothing wrong with that. But consider this. When my daughter was 11 and my first son was 9 and the next one was 5, they're all in the family. We all had the same food, but each one had a personal relationship with their dad. It wasn't, I'm doing everything, teaching everything the same, that I had to take care and with loving concern with where they are and who they are. And right now, as I'm talking to you, but in a positive way, my heart is aching and just crying out on behalf of all the brothers and sisters in the Lord's recovery, even all the Christians. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Because in the church life, of course, on this level, we're partaking of this. But we're at all different stages. And so I can't get into this in detail. But I would just hope you would just have some personal contact with the Lord and say, Lord, you know where I am. You know what I need. What I need to experience and enjoy. And then you just ask him, Lord, please train me to have a personal relationship with you. And the things you experience are not for you to talk about. We need this. Otherwise, inwardly, there will be a delay, to say the least, of growing in life. I'm speaking in a general way. I know some beloved brothers and sisters in their 70s and 80s who are, in the objective side, are very diligent and active and faithful in the church life, who have not grown at all for 30 years. They don't realize it. And especially with sisters, you dare not say anything. If we had some kind of more, I wouldn't say severe, but a more serious training, it would help the saints realize where they actually are so that the Lord can lead you to another stage. Because there has to be development. So now let's read these points regarding that. Okay. We have been allotted the wonderful, equally precious faith, and this faith is an all-inclusive seed. All the divine riches are in this seed. But we must be diligent to develop them. Diligent to develop them. When you're diligent, you do something seriously, continually. It's not just, you know, when I feel about it or when I have some this and that. And so there needs to be the seed developing to have a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom. So now we're going to see what Peter is saying from his point of experience. Do you want to be in the coming kingdom? Then, dear brothers and sisters, this is the journey you need to take personally as you are developing the divine life to maturity in each one of you. Only maturity saints will enter into the coming kingdom. Now, point two. By developing these virtues, we grow in life, and eventually we will reach maturity to be full of Christ and be qualified and equipped to be kings in the coming kingdom. Again, yes, I'm repeating this. By developing, it's by developing. Dear saints, this is not just words floating around. It's not just some kind of objective teaching. This is a loving concern for all of us that developing will be taking place. This is now December 1st. The Lord can do a lot in the next 30 days. Lord, when this year comes to an end, I want to be able to look back and say, and the Lord might also say, you were proceeding. You were developing. Then he might indicate in 2025, you can develop 5 times more than you did this year. Because from my point of view, that's normal. Like when you all had children when they're 12, and by the time they're 19, just in 7 years, what a radical change in every part of their being. Within a year, within sometimes in a month. And so this is just a picture of our development to reach maturity. And maturity is a stage of growth in life. And there are various degrees of maturity. You don't have to be on the same level as Brother Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. But you're in that realm. You know, when you're 12, you're one kind of person. Now you're 25, you're a young adult. You're not a child. And so you're now in this realm, humanly speaking, for the rest of your life. So it doesn't take that long to be in this realm of maturity, to be full of Christ and be qualified and equipped to be kings. So this has to happen to us, being qualified and equipped. I hope there's this personal sense within you. Lord, I need this. And the Lord might be indicating, I've been waiting for you to realize this and to know this. And now are you an open vessel? Then just let me do all that's in my being for you. I know how to take you on from step to step. And you participate in me. Okay, 3. We need to have the full development and maturity from the seed of faith through the roots of virtue and knowledge, the trunk of self-control, and the branches of endurance and godliness, to the blossom and fruit of brotherly love and love. We'll come and we will focus on the word love in a few minutes. But this is the procedure. In this one point, you just have a view of the whole procedure. And we'll just, for our learning, we'll go step by step in a minute or two. B, to supply virtue in faith is to develop virtue, the energy of the divine life, issuing in a vigorous action inwardly, in the experience of the equally precious faith. This faith needs to be exercised so that the virtue of the divine life may be developed in the succeeding steps and reach maturity. So this is the key point. This is what was in Peter's heart. He knew he had, as I mentioned before, he had reached maturity long before. But his final words would be, I want you to all participate, that you will all follow the same steps. No one can do it for you. We're not isolated, but it is personal. So now let's look at the aspects of it. See, virtue needs the bountiful supply of the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. The knowledge which we should develop in our virtue includes the knowledge of God and of our Savior, the knowledge of God's economy, and knowledge of what God is, faith is, and the knowledge of the divine power, glory, virtue, nature, and life. I don't remember if this word economy is mentioned again, so I'm going to do a pause. I just wonder what would happen if this were a training, and I asked all of you just to write out one sentence, just give a definition of economy. This word, it's very common, economy. And then we'd have 10 brothers and 10 sisters stand up and read your definition of economy. We should know what the word economy means. So I'll just share a little bit, and that is, we know from Revelation 4:11. Before, sometimes I made a mistake. I said 8:11. It was 4:11. He said, all things were created because of God's will. That's God's will. We know from Colossians 1, God's will is that the all-inclusive Christ would be life and our person and everything. And then in Ephesians chapters 1 and 3, the will of God is the organic body of Christ built up for the one new man and the bride who has made herself ready. And once this is becoming clear with us and we have settled with it, Lord, now I realize why you created me, why you redeemed me, why you are ministering life to me and shepherding me. It's for this. And so it's settled, Lord. I will not be content with your permissive will, only your perfect will. And then once this is settled, then you can say, Lord, what is your will concerning me in my present situation? And in his way, in his time, as he's shepherding your soul, he will lead you and guide you wherever you are. And we shouldn't compare our situation with someone else. We're not trying to imitate what others are doing. The Lord is taking care of us in this particular way. And so we have to go from stage to stage. We should develop in our virtue includes the knowledge of God and of our Savior. It includes the knowledge of God's economy, the knowledge of which faith is, etc. Now D, self-control is the exercise of control and restraint over oneself in his passions, desires, and habits. Such self-control needs to be exercised in knowledge for the proper growth in life. I realize this doesn't sound so exciting, huh? What self-control? But we're familiar with isn't the cross being applied to the self, of course. But now self-controlled. And so again, this is still in a tender way. Isn't it a fact that there have been situations recently where you haven't been thoroughly self-controlled? Didn't you realize afterwards it was yourself with its thoughts and feelings and whatever it is? And a married brother who is consecrated to the Lord and is an open vessel and is willing for the Lord to deal with him in every way, then the Lord's going to make it clear. Just yourself is being expressed. This is what needs to go. And he's very patient. He may have to say this several hundred times, but eventually he will just guide us, because we need to have self-control in any relationship we have. Of course, a wonderful marriage is when it's not perfect, but the brother and sister realize almost instantaneously, inwardly, this is myself. And you have to stop your sentence before you finish it. This is self-control. And then E, to exercise endurance is to bear with others and with circumstances. Endurance. In the 1960s, when there was, the United States had a war with the Far East, the experienced persons there in government and in the military, they realized something about the United States. They don't last long. They don't get it very soon. They will just stop. But in our point of view, if it doesn't happen this year, if it needs 5 years, if it needs 10 years, there's no endurance. And so we need to be saved from the culture that surrounds us, that wants to have things done immediately. And if it doesn't take place in the very near future, just forget about it. But there needs to be this endurance, because you learn from this verse in Revelation 1:9. And this is our elderly brother, John, again, on the island. And he's saying, I'm your fellow brother and partaker with endurance. And you read chapter 3, where the Lord is speaking to the recovered church. And he said, because of your endurance, I will rescue you by the end of the age. That's, I want to emphasize this word, endurance. And many of us, we have a strong will and we have a strong character. That's just the way it is. And then we may look down on those that are just defeated just so quickly. And sorry to say, then self-glorification is there inwardly. But then the Lord will eventually bring you into a situation where you realize you can no longer endure. You can't. But now we don't know. Wherever we are, from now until the end of this age, or until we can finish our journey on the earth, there's going to be more and more need for endurance. And this is a particular aspect that Peter came to experience. And we know his nature was to respond immediately, to take action. And so he had to be saved from his natural constitution to realize he needs to endure, put the enemy to shame. Where he's attacked, he sends the demons to attack because they know you cannot endure. Then they realize if they have to go back to Satan and say, this didn't work, because the power of the resurrected Christ is the endurance of this sister and this brother. I can't get through. No matter what happens, we need this endurance. We don't know what is ahead. We have no way of knowing. And so we need to exercise. We have the endurance. We need to exercise it. Then we go on. Godliness is a living that is like God and that expresses God. So here we are. We're like God and expresses God. Now point G is quite crucial. Brotherly love, Philadelphia, is brotherly affection. A love characterized by delight and pleasure in godliness, which is the expression of God. This love needs to be supplied for the brotherhood, for our testimony to the world, and for the testimony of fruit, of the bearing of fruit. So this is brotherly love. But we've not arrived yet at the peak. And we have to reach the peak in order to have the entrance into the coming kingdom. So we need the next section. The ultimate development of the divine nature within us is love. Agape. Agape. The Greek word used in the New Testament for the divine love which God is in his nature, agape. And the goal is we not only experience agape, we have to become agape. Amen. And so I just pause here, again in the spirit of fellowship, it's not a training. Do you love all the brothers and sisters with the same degree of love? Can you say that before the Lord? And you can say it because you've experienced what John said in his first epistle, that we love because God first loved us. And the more he loves us, the more he just allows his love to flow into you, then effortlessly we love. But in what way do we love? Do we love certain persons more than others because of their personality? Does your kind of love, is it affected by race, by color, by culture? This is not a shallow thing. To love every brother and every sister with the same love. No, please don't send me an email. Well, what about my wife about my husband. Well, that's a particular relationship. But in your church life, this is very important. And this may shock you to find out there are at least two verses in 1 John where Paul speaks of hating. If you hate your brother, you can look up the verses themselves. And I have to be very careful here. I'm not giving any details. But at a certain time, in a certain situation, a certain desperate need for not only fellowship, but shepherding. Because this saint, in a pure heart, in a genuine exercise spirit, made it known to me, these so-and-so hate me. And this person was correct. A particular member of the body related to a certain of the human side of family and marriage and children and things like that. There was actually hatred. We shouldn't think this is impossible for us. Once the Lord goes to the depths of our being to bring everything out, to replace it with Himself, how can we say we've never hated something? I hated the thing. I hated the person. And as the God-man living, Christ Himself, you can find anything related to Him. He said, look how they treated me. Lord, I hate them. Deal with them. Throw them into the lake of fire. How could He endure that? So let's just let Him be in us, that we not hate. If we want to hate, let's hate Satan. Amen. Let's hate death. Amen. But not any persons. No matter how you're treated, what they say, that in 2019, I got an email from a young sister, no doubt, and she was judging me, condemning me for this and this. Didn't bother me at all. Didn't affect me at all. And she said, you're nothing. You thought you were something. You're nothing. But I didn't respond. I said, dear sister, before you were born, the Lord made it clear to me that I am nothing, I have nothing, and I can do nothing. So it doesn't bother me to say that, to realize, but there was no hatred there. I feel sorry for her. She doesn't have to send me an email to apologize as if I didn't forgive her at the very moment. But for her development to be able to say, I had to repent to the Lord. And He led me to let you know, and I would just say, be at peace. I forgave you at that very moment. And please realize you're a member of the body. I love you as the same as I love all the other members. We have to reach this point. And again, it's the development of the divine life within us that will bring us there. It's not that we eventually going to become that kind of person. And so our brotherly love needs to be developed further into a nobler and higher love. Again, the word developed. that develop within us. It's not going to take place suddenly. Well, after this conference, no, I'd love everyone the same. Probably before you go to sleep tonight, you'll have a very different situation, at least a little bit. So we are in a stage of development, all of us. I'm still in this stage. If you ask me, Ron, where are you? I would say, I've got a slight idea, but only God knows. And He knows what needs to take place. Then two, in our enjoyment of the divine nature, we need to let the divine seed of the allotted faith develop to the consummation in the divine and nobler love. Again, we have this word, undeveloping. It would be just so delightful for every one of us if we just have the sense in our personal relationship with the Lord, we just realize, Lord, I know I haven't yet arrived, but Lord, I'm developing.
Amen.
I'm developing on my part. And I can develop because you have supplied me with grace and with your resurrection life and all that you are. But on my part, there will be a development. Then three, when we partake of the divine nature to the uttermost, we are filled with love, with God as love, and we become persons of love, even love itself. Now I would ask you to please, let's all read together the same point, okay? Three. So when we partake, we are actively involved. When we partake of the divine nature to the uttermost, okay? If you ask me for uttermost, I would say, I don't know. I haven't reached uttermost. Maybe there's some utter, but not the most. I don't even know what utter is either. Okay, but we will nature to the uttermost, we will be filled with God as love. Wow, what's going to happen? We're going to be filled with God as love. All of us, every one of us. It's not too late. You ready to go again? It's not too soon.
Amen.
We want to be filled with God as love. And then what? And we become persons of love. Become persons of love. But we're not finished yet. Even love itself. Well, are we not becoming God in life and nature, but not in His Godhead? Okay? And isn't it clear in John's writings? God is love. So we are in the procedure of becoming the same as God in life and nature. God is love. So, I'm just gazing at all of you, and those of you that I won't see, that you will somehow get the messages. You are going to become love itself.
Amen.
Because you are in the procedure of becoming the same as God in life and nature. Okay, point I. To develop the spiritual virtues in the divine life, and thus to advance in the growth of the divine life, makes God's calling and selection of us firm. And so, this word firm, I'm glad we have this. The grace we received is firm. And now the Lord's calling is firm. He has settled it. And He's not going to let you wander away that much. He's going to bring you to the end. It's just when? Then or now? Why not just settle, Lord, do what you need to do to accomplish this while I'm still here. And now the last section, which is, I just wrote on my outline a big star to remind me as I'm bringing this to an end how important it is. We should be diligent to pursue the growth and development of the divine life and the divine nature for a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom. This is our goal. Of all the things that I've tried to share with you, this is the goal. And I can honestly say, Lord, I truly want to enter into the coming kingdom. And not just kind of sneak in. No, but to have a rich entrance into an eternal kingdom. It's like the Lord is saying, welcome home. Come in. You made it. You're here. Isn't it wonderful? Let's rule the earth for 1,000 years. So the bountiful supply that we enjoy in the development of the divine life and the divine nature will bountifully supply us a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. So all the things that we are developing will issue in this. The supply will enable and qualify us to enter into the coming kingdom by all the riches of the divine life and divine nature is our excellent virtues, energy, unto the splendid glory of God. Wow, the splendid glory of God. What a realm we're going to be in. Then the last point. Apparently, it is we who enter into the eternal kingdom. Actually, the entrance into the eternal kingdom is supplied to us richly through our growth in life and through the development of the divine life. Dear saints, through our growth in life and through the development of the divine life within us. So please, just before I mention about your praying, after a brother gives a two-message testimony, please come to the microphone. But may I ask you in a tender way, don't come to sing. Don't come to about your personal history. We need brothers and sisters to confirm the important matters within these verses that we were in. So please pray for 30 or 40 seconds and then follow the Lord's leading within. And if you're a middle-aged person over there, I know it's a long way to walk, but just follow the leading to give your testimony to complete the message. I mean it. I did my part. Now we need your parts. Amen. And then we'll end the conference complete. So pray and then share.